Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Tim Sutton, the chairman of the QGIS Project Steering Committee. And I would like to just, again, thank you, everybody, for hosting us at this venue. It's really awesome to be here in Girona. It's a beautiful city. In my talk, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the QGIS project more from the high level. And then the rest of the day, you can geek out on all the technical details. So I promised in the promotional part of the talk to make your granny want to use QGIS. I hope that after I've talked, your granny will want to use QGIS. So when we started with QGIS, like Paolo said, it was started by somebody in his basement in Alaska, and it was a very small project. And as we grew, we thought, oh, we can take over the world, and then people would say, the software is not mature. And then we kept on working and working and working to the point today now where we are 14 years old. 14 years of hard work and lots of love and attention have gone into the software. So the software is not mature argument doesn't really apply to us anymore. I think we can say we're teenagers at least. We may not be as old as Esri or Microsoft or something, but we've been around for a while. Then they complain, the software is written by some dude in his pajamas, kind of hippie guys, can't be trustworthy. But just to give you an idea of the amount of effort and work that has gone into QGIS, there's 813 lines of code in our code base. We've got 112 active contributors or registered contributors. And the last time somebody put some code, it was yesterday. Basically, there's work happening continually every day. There's new improvements and fixes going into the code base. So I think we can say we're mature. You can use our software for your work. You'll get your work done. And there are lots of people using it, including lots of you out there. And it's really, that's why we build it. We want to see people use it. And it's really exciting to see people using QGIS. I wanted to just show you, maybe step back a bit and show you that it's not only here in Spain or in Europe that people are using it. People are using QGIS all around the world, and everywhere I go, I travel a lot. Everywhere I go, I meet amazing people, and they tell me, we're using QGIS for our work. This is Gumbi Gumbi from Malawi. The audio is coming through from the laptop.
To do mapping of the whole country.
Okay, we don't have audio, but it's fine. But Gumbi Gumbi works for the Department of Surveys in Malawi, and they have like 300 users using
QGIS. So we're happy to use QGIS because we don't have to worry about licensing, which was happening with other softwares. So thanks to QGIS.
I don't think the audio is very clear, so I'll just don't worry about the audio. But so they're using QGIS in their work, and probably nobody of you in this community ever heard of Gumbi Gumbi, but out there in Malawi, somewhere in Africa, is a whole organization using QGIS for all of their users. And this is Mark Ayliff from the World Bank. He's working in Tanzania, and it's the same story. Again, I won't play the audio because I think it won't come through on the speakers well, but they have they're training up people to use QGIS. They have whole programs built around QGIS, and they're going to the ward chiefs in villages and training them with QGIS, and the people are mapping their communities and starting to understand spatially what's happening in their environment. They've been working with flood protection in Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam is the world's fastest growing city, and they have terrible problems with floods, and most of it is anthropogenic. It's caused by people for example, if they throw all their rubbish into the river. The river doesn't look anything like this river. It looks like a big rubbish dump, and so they've been seeing that there's a trend that if you have a lot of rubbish in the river, they get more flooding. So they're using QGIS to identify where the flooding is and where the rivers are, and going cleaning up in those areas where they're flooding. And this is Gias Benjamin from Haiti, and Haiti had this terrible earthquakes a few years ago, and they've been doing a lot of work collecting data, because one of the big problems after the Haiti earthquake was they realized they had no spatial infrastructure, they had no spatial data, and there was a huge amount of effort gone into collecting spatial data for Haiti so that they can plan for disasters. And he's been involved in building capacity in Haiti and training people to use QGIS, and it's going right through their organizations in the government as well. I also wanted to highlight just a couple of interesting use cases, because most of us are just using, well, I use QGIS to make a few dots on the screen and then kind of test something like something I'm programming with. Most of you, I guess, are probably using QGIS in a municipal context or some government administration context. But there are a lot of other people doing some very interesting things with QGIS. So this example is from Tom Armitage and Anouk Lang. And what they've done is they've used QGIS and the Time Manager plugin, and they've taken literature and they've geo-parsed the literature. So they basically have some algorithm that goes, they scan the literature, turn it into text, they then parse the literature looking for place name references, and then they're building up visualizations of where places have been mentioned in the literature. And this is very interesting. You can go then through historical books and see which all the places that were mentioned, and they have some kind of mapping of old place names to new place names, and that produces interesting visualizations. This this map is done in QGIS by Stephen Bernard works for the Financial Times in the UK, and they're basically using QGIS in all of their map-based visualization workflows. So whenever you open the Financial Times or look at their website and you see a map, it's probably been done in QGIS. And they really take the cartography and the presentation of spatial information to the next level, and really showing us like what you can achieve with QGIS if you're graphically inclined. I want to also give you an idea of how many users there are of QGIS, because most people say, oh, we have to use the main GIS, the one that's most popular, because we must be industry relevant. I have a lot of times that I go to talk to universities to try to convince them to use QGIS in their curriculum. They say, we have to use the one that's industry relevant. They use this term always, industry relevant. I hate that term. It's like, industry relevant is another way of saying ESRI. Yeah. I don't mind ESRI, it's fine, but I just want to point out that ESRI probably, the last report I saw, I think they had 100,000 registered users, probably a few more 100,000 pirate users, but QGIS is working that same kind of league of users. We have hundreds of thousands of users. So these numbers are a bit misleading, because they're just the download counts from the Windows installer. But they give an indication. So in 2.8, we had 680,000 downloads of the Windows installer for 32-bit and 64-bit version and across the different releases. So you could say, okay, we could reduce that number a bit because there was bug fix releases and those counted in the download count here. But then you can also increase that number, because for every one copy that's downloaded, probably 10 or 100 or sometimes 1,000 are being shared across organizations without going to the download site. So it gives you just an idea that we're talking in the order of hundreds of thousands of users. And really, we are industry relevant. And if you're doing university training, you can use QGIS and your students will come out with industry relevant skills. In 2.14, which was released in March this year, so that's just 3-4 months ago, we've already had 484,000 downloads just from this release in the last 4 months. And again, that's across the bug fix releases, so it's probably the actual, if you sort of split it back to one release, it's probably 200,000 downloads. But again, those probably have been distributed to multiple users. So we really are a high impact, high user base project. This is Niall Dawson, one of our developers. Are you here, Niall? Give a wave. I like to open source my talks, by the way, so if somebody wants to correct me, you can just do so or stand up and say something. So Niall at the back there is from Australia, and this is him and I in Barcelona trying to choose cereal, and there's a lot of choices out there, and QGIS is producing a lot of choices for you as well. So we have QGIS on the desktop. You've all probably used that. But did you know that there's QGIS running on your phone as well? Matthias Kuhn, are you here? I think he's probably got a bad hangover from last night and he's coming later. But Matthias Kuhn has been working on QGIS for Android. There's a little animation here I can show you the concept. There are actually two versions of QGIS for Android. This is the second version. So the first version was a full desktop replication, so you could put it on your tablet. It was more designed for tablet, and you had all the start menus and everything. It didn't have Python in it, but otherwise it was feature complete to what you have on your desktop. This is the new version that he's been working on. It's called QField, and it's a much more native, simplified Android experience. And you compose your QGIS project on your desktop, and you just copy it onto your phone or your tablet, and you go out in the field. It connects to your GPS, and you can click on buildings, set their attributes. It's not doing digitizing at the moment, but it's amazing. QGIS running on your phone. It's running on my phone. There's another version of QGIS for tablet. This one is designed more for Windows mobile, Windows tablets. It's called Roam. It's written by Nathan Woodrow. He's not here, unfortunately, today. He's in Australia. And this one is more also designed for field data collection. So if you're in a municipality and you need to go to survey the lampposts or the trees, whatever, you can go out in the field, connect it with your GPS. You can touch a tree on the map. You can see here there's some kind of like tree icons where the trees are, and then you can edit the attributes and then come back and synchronize it to your project back in the office. QGIS is on your phone, it's on your tablet, it's on your desktop, it's also on the server, so you can run QGIS on your Linux or whatever, Windows, Mac server, and you publish your QGIS projects that you design in your desktop, and as well as the server component, we also have a web client. Andreas Neumann sitting over there, give a wave, Andreas. He's doing a lot of work on this web client, and basically it will scan your project and give you the same layers that you've got in your project into your web view, and you can do some things like searching in your project and printing your print compositions in your project, and so on. It's very, very rich and powerful web client working together with QGIS server. This is something that I've been working on. We've been looking at using QGIS as a backend for a spatial content management system. So the idea is that you, instead of having to do some special magic to get your project hosted, you have something like a normal content management system. This is GeoNode that we've forked, and we've added QGIS as a backend to. So in this little animation, I'm uploading a shapefile into the portal. And then when the shapefile gets uploaded, it becomes available as one of your layers in your portal with all the styling that you set in QGIS Desktop. So you can see I'm using the new 3D, 2.5D renderer in QGIS. And then you can use that to compose a map from all of your QGIS layers, and then you can share that map with your friends. This is still a prototype, but it should be released in the next month or two. So it's easy to publish your data. You just drag and drop your layer. And the trick is that you publish the QML, the style file from QGIS with it, and it uses the styling when it publishes your map. And this is another project that I've been working on, and other people have been doing too. So this is more where you can treat QGIS as an appliance. And so you kind of can just spin up a QGIS server instance. And what I'm doing here is showing you that I'm working on my desktop. I'm styling my buildings. And then as soon as I save the project, it gets synchronized automatically to my web server. And the style, after a few seconds, you'll see this, the buildings will turn red just as I changed it on the desktop. So we've got all these cool things coming along that are not just on the QGIS desktop. You can, because it's an open ecosystem, you can build all sorts of interesting applications on top of the QGIS stack. This is my favorite one. This is QGIS ASCII. For nerds, and it's basically QGIS rendering as ASCII art. Does anybody not know what ASCII art is? Okay, it's Vincent. I'm sure Vincent, you know what ASCII art is. So ASCII art, basically we're drawing the map using little colored characters like letters, like green blobs and so on. And it's just an absolutely useless thing, but still fun and nice to show people what you can do with QGIS. Actually, I think there might be a use when you're on your server and you want to check your project, you can log in with your SSH session and test your project out and know that it works. Just to give you a flavor of how widespread QGIS is, the website, the QGIS, if you go to QGIS.org, I noticed this in Catalan as well, which I didn't try to read it because I won't understand anything, but we have 24 languages on our website. So you can just imagine what an effort there is, not only from the coding side. I mentioned there's 870,000 lines of code and 120 developers. That's just on the code base, but also in the surrounding parts of the project, there's a huge amount of effort that goes in translating, writing documentation. The application itself, when you open it, you can use it in 39 languages. So, I mean, I don't know any other application that you can use in so many different languages. It's absolutely amazing. Not all of them are 100% complete, but many of them are pretty complete and very usable in different languages. You can even use it in Arabic and right to left languages, and I try sometimes to test it out and then get really lost because I can't read Arabic and work right to left, but it's just amazing that you can use it in so many different languages. QGIS has also got a commercial support environment, so that's another common refrain we get is, it's open source software made by hippies, who will support us if my print won't print or I have some problem? We've got 35 registered commercial support providers on our website, and those providers are split into three groups. The first group are providers, which are actually also core developers, so that you know that they actually really understand QGIS like at the core level and they're contributing to the core project. And then we've got providers who contributors, they've given patches or made other contributions to the project. And then we've got commercial providers, which we've not actually heard of. Look, we don't know them in our community, but they are providing services. And they're spread all around the world as well. So they're not just here in Europe, or there's providers in South America and in North America, all around the world. QGIS has a sponsorship program, and we made some little visualizations here. I'm sorry if it's a bit hard to see on the screen, but basically, over the years, our number of sponsors has been increasing. We are always looking for more sponsors. We have got four different levels. You can sponsor as a platinum, a gold, a silver, or bronze sponsor. And you can see that, or I hope you can see that, like most of the sponsorship income comes from Central Europe. So thank you, everybody in Europe, for all the sponsorship you do. And most of the actual number of sponsors also comes from Central Europe. So it's definitely a very active hub of activity in the QGIS project here. These are just to acknowledge all the companies that are sponsoring QGIS. In the last release, we had, I forget how many, I think it was 20 or 30 sponsors that were active at the time. So thank you very much to all the people sponsoring. Some of the sponsors are here in the audience today. What does that sponsorship bring us in terms of revenue? This is probably the most amazing thing for me, is that the project, which is being used by hundreds of thousands of users, is being used to run municipalities, governments, disaster relief programs, Financial Times for the visualizations. The whole project last year had an income of 69,000 euros. To put that in perspective, that's probably less than the budget of one GIS department of one municipality in one country. So it's an amazing amount of value that comes out for out of that relatively small sponsorship amount that we receive. And actually, what's also amazing for me is the fact that the sponsors, the formal sponsors that I showed you the logos for, are even eclipsed by people just making donations. So we've got a PayPal button where you can, or a donation button on our website. You can go and click on that and give micro donation, like 10 euros or whatever you want to give. And we receive more people giving micro donations than we do from corporate sponsors. So come on, you guys who got lots of money and want to sponsor QGIS, it's time to show those donors who's boss and beat them for next year. I just want to mention some things that are coming down the line as well. So QGIS has a kind of a governance structure, and we have a project steering committee, and we've got a bunch of core developers, and we're not only thinking about maintaining the current version and what's out there now, but we're looking forward into the future. And there are a lot of features planned on the desktop software, but there's also a lot of things going on in the project itself about how we govern ourselves. One of the most important steps forward for us is that we are becoming a legal entity. So until now, we've been completely grassroots. 14 years, we've been just a loose-knit association of people coming together to build something. But there are problems with being a grassroots organization. For example, when we have the trademark, we have to put it in Paolo's name because we don't have our own legal entity to own the trademark of QGIS. And when we have a bank account, we put it in Andreas's name because we don't have a legal entity to open a bank account. So we're trying to move one step forward and become a professional organization, which is it will be not for profit. And the idea is that we'll have some legal force behind us so that if there is ever a lawsuit or something like that, it's the legal entity that can deal with these kind of things. We've just been doing a voting program, and we can discuss it more in the town hall meeting tonight, or you can join our mailing list. But basically, we're sort of fine-tuning the way that decisions are made in the project. We've incorporating this idea of voting members, and the voting members will receive representation from country user groups. So if you don't already have a user group in your country, it's a good time to get one because you get some influence on how the project is run. And then the voting members are also comprised of people from our community. We are planning a grant program. So the grant program is, the idea behind the grant program is that 69,000 euros funding that I mentioned before. What we do with the funding is we spend it on fixing bugs, coming to Hackfest, which is mainly pizza and accommodation and beer, and paying for the infrastructure of QGIS, paying for our website and our domain and our servers and things like that. But we want to ramp up the grant program so that we're actually paying people to work part-time or even full-time on QGIS, just improving it, because there's a lot of things that don't get covered by contract workers and third parties. For example, our API documentation needs a lot of work. There's more work we can do on the documentation itself, and we want to basically increase the funding level so that we can put people onto these kind of unwanted jobs. We've now got 12 country user groups, so there's another 200 and whatever, 20, how many countries do we have now? 220 countries to go before we have a country group in every world, in every country. And it's really interesting to see what the country user groups are doing, because they mostly self-organize and they create their own events. Like the Swiss user group has been very active. The UK user group, they have their own Hackfest or conferences and meetings and get-togethers. And last year we started the first release in our long-term release program. And the idea is there that we have one release per year, which is maintained for at least a year. Probably in the future we will extend that time to longer. And this has been a really good platform for people to use in production environments where they want to have something more stable. We do backported fixes, so we do bug fix releases on those long-term releases. So you can really rely on that release getting a lot of attention and not changing and being well maintained. There are many other things going on, and I don't have time to tell you about them all here. But if you want to find out more about the things that are going on in QGIS, come along to our town hall meeting. Tonight it's at 6 o'clock, I think. Basically in the town hall meeting, it's like an ask me anything session. So we'll have a bunch of the developers. There are a lot of developers here in the audience, but there's more that are still coming tonight. And we'll all be available, and you can ask questions about anything you like in QGIS, and we'll try to answer it. So it's a great session to have. We had one like that in Nürbur, how's my pronunciation? And it was really a nice way to find out or get your questions answered about QGIS. So lastly, I'd just like to say thank you very much again to the city of Girona for hosting us sandal-wearing bearded geeks. And we really, really like being here. It's a beautiful place to have a Hackfest and a conference. And thank you very much for your hospitality.